hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Hey, we're starting a new sermon series this week. It's called All In. So we spent quite a lot of time on Radical Jesus, but this book, where's my book? This book, we could go on forever because this is full of radical things from Jesus. So we could make this last years. But we're now moving on to a thing called All In. And in October this year, I've been a Christian for 19 years. And man, it's gone quick. And back then when people told me they'd been Christian for such a long time, I thought, man, it blows my mind. You know, some people's 30 years and 40 years and thinking, wow. See, and somehow back then I thought that they were fully on fire like I was back then. You know, I was crazy when I first got saved. You know, I go to church twice a week, morning and night, religious, every time. I just wanted to be around people. I went to connect groups twice a week. I found two connect groups to go to. I went twice a week. I went to special meetings, things on Friday nights, prophetic meetings. I went to those. Conferences, 6 a.m. prayer meetings. I think Paul got me up sometimes at 6 a.m. when I first went to Grace to go to prayer meetings in his office. Praying for the sick. I loved praying for the sick. As soon as I got saved, I wanted to pray for sick people. And delivering bread, playing tennis with the Christian Tennis League on Thursday nights, soccer on Sundays. I wanted to be around Christians all the time because I was on fire. And I look at what I was doing then and think, wow, that was excessive, wasn't it? Did I need to do all that? But I was on fire and I wanted to be around people. And I soon found out some of the mature Christians around me weren't on fire. Some were, but a lot weren't. And watch them over a couple of years, the ones that weren't end up coming on fire. And the ones on fire end up not being on fire. And I think, what's going on here, God? I thought, once you got it, you got it. And Jesus calls it first love. And I thought first love would hang in. But sadly, I found out far too soon it can easily come and go. And I mean come and go, come and go, come and go. And some I knew back then came and they went. And they haven't come back. And it breaks my heart. When I think of all the people that was in church with me 19 years ago that I don't see anymore and that are out. I saw them dive in the deep end. Dive in deep. Next minute, they're wading in ankle-deep water. And I think, wow, God, what's going on here? Why, God? Why does this happen? And I also found out that the coming and going has nothing to do with God. Not a thing to do with God. It was to do with me, my life, and the effect other people had on my life. And I believe it's the same for everyone in this room, and even some of them at home that are not here this morning. And the psalmist puts it like this in Psalm 73. It says, truly, God is good to Israel. It says, truly God is good to his people, he's saying, to those whose hearts are pure. See, the psalmist starts off and he says, starts acknowledging God, saying, God is a good God. Then he continues in verse 2, saying, but as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. Now that hurts. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. You're saying, I believe God is good. It's like me, I was on fire. But these tensions came into my life after I was saved. Tensions between the world and my faith. people and stuff and money just gets in the way. People are doing wicked things, he's saying, but they're doing well. They're going great guns. Their lives look great, but it's not fair, is it? We're the Christians. Verse 6 says, they wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything. What's that about? They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. He's saying here, the people of the world can pretend to be someone they're not, and they don't even think twice about it. Sometimes I come in here and pretend on a Sunday morning. And I think twice about it. But he's saying the proud, these people don't even think about it. Just put on an act. Look like everything's fine and everything could be fine. Because they're proud of everything they've done, everything they own, everything they possess. And it says they also looked after. Now, hold it, God's looking after us. What about those dudes? But they seem to be able to say what they want. Whatever they think, they just say. Not worrying about the effect it has on other people or how less fortunate people are affected in their lives. And verse 10 says, and so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know, they say? Does the Most High even know what's happening? The Message version says, is God out to lunch? All this is going on for us. Is God out to lunch, not even worrying about it? Verse 12 says, look at those wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Man, isn't this so true? Eh? Driving along on my Audi, I've got rid of the Tino, my old Audi, and I see these people pull up in these fresh cars, and I'm looking, oh yeah, yeah, you've got that, oh yeah. I'm doing God's work, I've got the Audi. Got to keep a good mind, don't you? Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? The wicked get away with everything. Doesn't it seem like that sometimes? Where are the police when you need them? They're always there when I don't. You come out to your car in the car park. It's got a massive big dent right along the side of it. No notes, no witnesses. What? This happened to Sue. Smashed the whole car in. $1,000 worth of damage. Didn't leave a note. No witnesses came forward. Come on, God, where are you? I tithed this week. I read my Bible. I prayed. Where are you? What's up with my car? Do you ever feel like this? Was it just me? You need to find a new pastor. You know, driving down Moores Ave. I'm driving down Moores Ave, coming to work, doing 50 to 52 k's. Now, some hoons come flying past me doing 70. No cops anywhere. They get all the lights. I stop at every one down Moores Ave. If I'd done 70, I would have got every light. What's that about? Do they make the lights work for people who do 70? I don't know.
70 is the speed.
This stuff drives me crazy. See, sometimes seems like you get nowhere playing by the rules. I want to tell you something. You give yourself a massive disadvantage if you decide to play by the rules. A massive disadvantage. Because everything you do right doesn't always seem the best or the fairest or the easiest. Hey, I'm not telling you not to live right here. I'm just saying. He continues, he says, I get nothing but trouble all day long. This guy's having a real bad day, isn't he? Every morning brings me pain. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Just have a great day today. Car won't start. But see, funny enough, when you start thinking like this, this is why some people start drifting away from God. The fire goes out because of this stuff. They get disillusioned. It's not always like the way they say it's going to be. If I'm good, everything goes good. If I'm bad, the rule is everything will go bad in my life. It doesn't always work like that. See, believing and having faith in Jesus is not about the rules. If it's about the rules, then it's about religion. Verse 15, if I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So what he's saying is now, if I'd spoken out about all these problems, I would have been a traitor to you, God. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. The Message version is brilliant. It says, I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. It gives me a splitting headache. I love that. Oh. See, there's things in our lives that will never make any sense. God, with God or without God. And like the writer of this psalm, it will drive you crazy trying to work it out. So I only want to do this once in my lifetime. I hate this sermon. Why are they so wealthy and I'm struggling financially? Why did they get healed and I didn't? Why are they all happily married and I'm not, or I'm single? It's a bit of a myth, but anyhow. Why do they have a good job and I'm struggling to find one? These are the things that make people drift. All of us go through times like this and we cry out to God to make sense of our lives. And sadly, for some, the fire goes out because of these struggles. And these struggles are too hard. See, religion offers the answers to all our problems, but the answers are not really there. But faith offers hope for the things we can't figure out. See, the man who wrote this psalm was called Asaph. He was King David's worship leader. Every morning his job was to get into the presence of God, hear God's voice, and take God's presence to the people through worship. But his circumstances, his views of other people, what he was seeing around him, his feelings of what they were saying to him, their attitude towards people, all this started smashing him about. And verse 2 says he started backsliding, was slipping away. He recognised what was happening. He said, I was almost gone. But look what got him back on track. Verse 7 says, then I went into the sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly you put them in a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. His feet were slipping. He was on the slippery path. But what changed that around? The presence of God. We can't come into the presence of Almighty God without changing. We need to seek his presence. We need to hunger over his presence. And when we enter into his presence, we experience the satisfaction of what we really have. We have everything. And in reality, the world with all its glitter and all its wealth and all its words mean nothing. Verse 19 says, in an instant they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas, as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realised that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. In his presence, we get revelation of what's going on in our hearts as well. And we can look at people, everyone else, and envy. But when we do that, it ends up as bitterness. And this bitterness can turn people from God. That bitterness sets us up on a slippery path, and the only answer is his presence. Verse 20 says, "Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to this glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you?" See, he's not talking about going to heaven for the paths of gold or eternal life. What he's saying here is, all I need is you, God. When I go to heaven, it doesn't matter what else is there, as long as you're there. And I'm in your presence. He says, "I desire you more than anything on earth." See, it says in the Lord's Prayer, you know, as in heaven, as on earth, as in heaven. This is what this means. You know, you should be desiring God so much, just like you will be when you're in heaven. "But God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, but you destroy those who abandon." Sorry, "for you destroy those who abandon you." See, for me, 2007 was like this. I'd unintentionally stopped going to church regularly. I used to go when I was on door duty, or when I was rostered on. Our home group had folded. I stopped praying for people. This is 2007, 8 years into being a Christian. Be honest, I stopped reading the Word. The world looked a lot more compelling than the Christian life that I was now in. And I was nearly all out. And I made excuses it was the church. I blamed the people in the church for what they said. I blamed my wife. You know, we have a bit of a shih-tzu and she wouldn't come. And so, "Well, you're not going, I'm not going." "Or I'll go and you don't go," and whatever. You know, and I blamed God. "Where's your presence, God? Where's this first love that I had, that I was on fire for you and I couldn't wait to mix with Christians, couldn't wait to get to church twice a week, twice on a Sunday. I couldn't wait to get Connect Group. Where's this, God? It's all your fault." But it was me. I wasn't cold, I was lukewarm. And Jesus has a lot to say if you read your Bible about being lukewarm. I was just warm enough to say I was a Christian. And the sad thing is, you know, it just crept up on me, just like that. Just slowly over those years, 8 years, bang, 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 slowly crept up on me. You know, and then it went from all about God and people to all about me. Not a really funny story, this one, is it? Asaph gives us the only solution in this psalm. "When I went into the sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked." Could I have the band up, please? See, when we get into his presence, in the presence of God, the bitterness goes, the envy goes, and the love comes in. See, I lost my first love for God. And in doing that, I lost my love for people. And when I breathe, this is great that he played that song. "When I breathe in his breath, I finally understood what following Jesus was all about. The destiny of the lost for me." And at that point, I remembered the verse I loved and I hung on when I first became a Christian. And it's Matthew 10. It says, "Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons, and give as freely as you have received." I got it again. Go and tell them, it says. Go and heal them. Go and raise them up. Free them. Be generous to them. See, it had become all about me. My life had become all about me again. I went back to where I was when I was 45 years old, just about. And it wasn't about me, it was about them. And from that day to this, I made a solemn vow with God that I want to be all in. I'm going to be all in, all out. I'm not going to be lukewarm anymore. I'm over it. At that point, I was over it. It was messy. My life was a mess. Everything was going wrong. Even, you know, it's bad enough it's going wrong when you're full on. When you're not full on, it even goes worse. And my life was a real mess. Our marriage was a mess, and we needed to get back into church. And this man here got me through it. I went to a meeting for coffee with him, and he says, "Where are you going to church?" I said, "And where are you going to church, mate?" Because we weren't in church. And he said, "C3, come along." I went along and I walked in there and I was home. The worship played, I got in the presence of God and my whole life changed. Thank you, Paul. See, I want to finish on the final verse of Psalm 73. It says, "These are the words of Asaph. I want them always to be my words, and I pray they'll always be your words." These are the words, it says 28. "But as for me, how good is it to be near God? I've made a sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things he does for me." I'll tell everyone about the things you do, it says there. "But I'll tell everyone about the wonderful things he does for me." See, this is, Asaph, this is one man's story, but it was my story as well. And it's possibly your story in this room. We're all in. That's what this series is about, all in. You're here. Thank you so much. It's not the foot bums on the seats. Excuse the language. To me, it's more important that you're all in than you're sitting on that seat. Because when you are all in, you'll be on that seat. People say, "Oh, it's all about numbers." Of course it's about numbers. I wrote a whole book in the Bible about numbers. But anyhow, apart from that, right through Acts, 5,000, 3,000, multiplied. They're talking about numbers. It's important to Jesus about numbers. And that's what this house party thing is about. It's about numbers. Fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000. 12 disciples, all about numbers. People write whole books on numbers stuff out of the Bible. But so it's all about bringing people to the kingdom of God. So we're gonna stand and worship. But what I want to pray for people this morning, is if you're feeling you're in the midst of that story, and you're here, but you feel like you're in the midst of that story, I want to pray with you this morning. I want you to get on fire for God. Totally commit. I don't mean stupid like I was back in the day where I'm doing everything every night of the week, but in your heart, you've got this hunger and love for God. Amen? So why don't we just stand? If that's you, if you're in the midst of my story and Asaph's story, why don't you come while we're worshipping? I want to lay hands on you and fill you with some power.
Thanks for listening to this week's message.
Jesus' name.
To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.